3. Psalm 1, 2, 3. Both messages this morning and tonight were just a simple result of my personal things I'm going through. And as I went through, of course, this was a busy week and just a lot going on from start to finish, and it didn't seem like it ever really finished yet. So I took those. I just said, you know, God, you've taught this to me. I'm going to share that. I'm going to share that with the people this week. And so tonight is, I would say, it's just as undeveloped as any message I've ever given. But I wrote down the notes as God was given to me. I was going through it. And I just want to, I hope it will be a blessing to you. And Rick and I did not get together on this. He picked the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, this week. We sang that just a little bit ago, and honestly, we couldn't have sung a better song for tonight, because that's the focus. So let's look at Psalm 123. It's not a very big psalm. We only have 4 verses in Psalm 123, and so we're going to look at just a few of the verses. But as we look at this, well, let me go ahead and read it, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Psalm 123, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. And the psalm ends. There it is. Psalm 123. All right, there's a word that's important that's used 4 times. What word would that be? Okay, I almost said not mercy. Eyes, okay? Eyes. Again, we sang the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. 4 times in 3 verses, really, it's not mentioned in verse 4. And so, 4 times in 3 verses, the word eyes is used. Now, let's look at one time in verse 1, and then the other 3 in verse 2. Okay, actually, I guess it's 4 times in 2 verses, is it? Am I missing something? I guess not. Verse 3 doesn't have it. Okay, so better odds there. 4 in 2 verses. Okay, let me ask you the question. I want you to look at what the eyes are connected to. Connect the eyes. In other words, when I say that, what's the instruction with the eyes? All right, let's look at verse 1. What's the instruction of the eyes? Or what is he telling us? What are the eyes doing? Lift I up mine eyes. Okay? So the psalmist is saying, unto thee lift I up mine eyes. So to lift up. Somebody tell, we're working together tonight. What does it mean to lift up? Lift up our eyes. No, and when I ask, I'm just talking very, very general. I'm not asking you to give me a spiritual answer. Just to lift up your eyes. What's he saying? Okay, stop doing what you're doing. Obviously, if you're lifting up, it's moving from one place to another. So stop doing what you're doing. What else? Observe. Okay, so stop doing what you're doing and look at something. Observe something. See something. Okay, we got a couple here. Focus on what you're doing. So focus. All right? So there's a focus. Okay? So intention, a focus, a place. And so it's from something, and there's an observation, and now it's here in a spot. Slogan?
Focusing your attention away from like earthly things unto the Lord.
Okay, so taking that focus and putting it to something else. So lift up your eyes. Okay, go to verse 2. We've got a couple mentions here, and 2 times it says another thing, we could look at. What does it say with our eyes there? One of them is said, and then the other is just implied there. Okay, behold. Okay, we behold, and then he says what? Behold, and that means to look. But as the eyes of the servants, and what's the next word? Look, okay, look unto. And we see that, look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto. He doesn't use the word look, but we understand because he already said look unto, and then he said unto. We understand also that as the eyes of the maiden look unto the hand of her mistress. And so two times it's mentioned or inferred to look, okay, so or to look unto, the eyes to look unto. Anything different from this than the last? Probably not, but it's our eyes are to look unto. I would say again, it's to take your immediate focus and change it to something else. So there's a change in focus. So I would say very much the same thing as what you just said, but just used another way. So to look unto. So first we lift up our eyes. Second, we look unto. Now I want you to get a little bit more specific though, because this is the we've got some illustrations of this looking or this gaze that we want to look at. Look at the two illustrations. What's the first one? What relationship do we look at first? Servant master. And he instructs the servant and the master. He says, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters. Okay, now that's going to help us think about what this look unto is. Tell me what might that be meaning? That as a servant would look unto what his master's doing. What might that mean? Okay, authority. And so he's taking things maybe off of himself and saying, okay, I'm looking unto, this servant is definitely involved with what he's telling me to do or something. There's some authority there. What else that's closely related? That there's that authority, that servant master. What else? What's that? Respect. Okay, so when he says to the servant, you know, as a servant looks to his master, as a servant respects his master. Okay, that's good. Okay, as a servant looks to leading and guiding. Very legitimate, right? We look at, when we look to somebody that's in charge of us, a master, we're waiting for that instruction, that leading, that guiding. There's honor. Any other thoughts?
Along the same lines, obedience to that authority.
Okay, there's no doubt. What's implied here is this servant is looking to his master, and so it's not just he's going to hear it, but I think it's given that or implied that he's going to obey, he's going to do that. I think that's in it. That's right, Linda. Maybe there's some provision. Maybe there's something, you know, as the servant looks to his master, maybe as he looks to how he's going to help him, be a blessing, and I think even as Linda said that, there could be something even more that if he's looking at the hand, what else could the hand of the master be doing? So maybe there's some trust involved. Okay, so looking at his trust. Could there be some example that's given there? Like maybe look to how he's doing things. And I think it was kind of said, you know, that that there's some leading and guiding there, but maybe looking to how he does it. Do you see how it's important to, no pun intended, look at what is being said here? We need to understand it. And he's using two examples. Okay, what's the next illustration or example that's being used?
Maiden, the mistress.
Okay. And I would say, isn't that similar to master and servant? I mean, we've got the mistress and we've got the maiden. And so very similar as we look at this, this looking to to see what the instructions are, to see what the help might be. You know, we could look at a number of things, you know, and many of you, you know, it's kind of like, I think a good word here is dependence. Looking unto, lifting up. There's an element with these illustrations of dependence. We're waiting for something. We're hoping. I wasn't supposed to use that word because that's the last one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yep, both of those. Yep, so there's definitely some dependence. Somebody said authority, assistance. Do we see help here? You know, somebody that might be helping them. Support, expectation, determination, steadfastness. Somebody said trust. Trust in promises, maybe, that were given. There's a lot of things that, as I went through my notes as well, that we're looking here. And what's the last one in verse 2? I already said it. What's the key word here with the eyes? What does he say? So our eyes what?
Wait.
Okay, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Okay, so now he uses the same, you know, he's using our eyes to do what? Our eyes are to lift up, our eyes are to look or look upon, and now our eyes are to wait. To wait. What does it mean to wait? What could that mean, that our eyes are to wait? I mean, how do our eyes wait?
They don't lose focus and look somewhere else.
Okay. So it's to keep our focus there. Good.
We're also to be letting the trust in what is it, finding our Savior.
Yeah, that's good. Something, yeah, we don't know, right? We can't see it, but yet there's a trust involved because we're waiting on that. Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. Roger. Okay, so looking with expectation, there's no doubt that the illustrations that are used here, there's expectation, right? We are expecting, that servant is expecting that master to lead and guide, provide, give that example, whatever it is. There's expectation, for sure. Somebody else had their hand up. Okay, so it must have been a good one. Okay, so expectation, to wait. You know, as our eyes wait. Anything else? Just meditate upon that phrase just a little bit. So our eyes would wait. Now, again, we'll get to the on God here in just a minute, but our eyes waiting. Hope. So that hope. What's that? Okay. So there's this. Keeping us from fear. Keeping us to know that we have. Okay, so keeping ourselves in the right spot. We don't want to go in the wrong direction. Those are good, yep.
I think about the decision that's involved here. You only have, you know, so much time in your day, and instead of going and doing something else or just kind of getting on with it, you're waiting, you're choosing to wait for something greater than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, our eyes are waiting. Have you ever, I'm trying to think of what animal, maybe just a dog would be good. You know, if there was ever a trained animal that would be there, have you ever watched an animal's, specifically a dog's eyes, when they are tuned in to their master? A lot of that's expecting a table scrap, right? But a trained dog, my brother out in South Phoenix, He had two dogs. One of them wasn't trained well. And that dog, you know, whatever. But he had another dog, didn't he, kids? That, wasn't that dog amazing? That he had, he spent a lot of money on this dog, I think. It was one of these dogs that's bred to be super smart. And that dog, he could do, we played games. Honestly, that's how we passed our time. Some of the times we played games with that dog. And they would go hide the dog and we would throw this thing, you know, somewhere. And I'm getting the story wrong. No, not, he didn't hide the dog. Well, we went and hid a thing, but we hid the eyes of the dog didn't know. That's what I meant. The dog did not know what we were doing. We did hide the dog, okay? But we didn't go take it and put it in a closet or anything, but the dog didn't know what was going on. And that dog was amazing. And what I want to, you know, anything that they wanted that dog to do, it did. And just, he had, that dog had my brother's eyes, for sure. And there was always, at any time, his eyes were fixed upon my brother. Didn't really matter what I did or whatever, but his eyes were fixed upon my brother. And he was there, and there was that. I really think that's almost one of the best things that I could, at least that I've experienced, that there was that expectation for something, for a treat, or for, but it was also on a pointing, a listening, I mean, very intricate, you know, a well-trained, whoever they are, there's this, it's a focus, and you've all said it, you've all gone all over this idea, but those eyes were just immediately and focused on the master, on the object, and at any moment, any command, anything, that dog was ready, and fast too, wasn't it? I mean, wham, I mean, it was on it. It was kind of amazing to me. I've never seen a dog like that, but it was amazing. Now, I'm not telling us that we need to be dogs like that. The point is, and we've not even really gotten to the, we're going to get to it now. What I wanted you first to see was just how the connection of the eyes. Four times in two verses, he refers to the eyes, and he says to lift up your eyes. He says, look upon, wait for. So now let's get into it. What is he saying? Psalm 123, unto thee, the psalmist says, unto thee. Okay, now take everything that we just talked about, kind of thinking through what it means to use our eyes. And by the way, we understand this. He uses eyes here. Is it deeper than the eyes? Let's go back to that word, the eyes. It's not just this, right? Eyes are more of what? Yes, and so it's who we are, right? Our hearts, it's us. What am I? And again, he uses this human element of looking. But again, it's dependence. It's expectation, it's hope, it's all those things that you guys said, okay? So think of that now as we go back through it. The psalmist says, unto who? Thee. Unto thee. And who is thee? The Lord our God, right? It says in verse 2, the Lord our God. Yahweh is here, the Lord our God. And in verse 3, O Lord. So we're talking about I am. We're talking about Yahweh. He says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. He says, okay, it's you, God, that I'm going to make, somebody says, this decision. I'm going to make a decision to take my focus off of what I'm doing, off of my life, off of the waves, Peter, disciples, take my mind, you know, every my being of my focus, my attention. You remember Mary and Martha? And probably we could divide the crowd in half of who would do what. But if Jesus came to visit, what would you be doing? Some of you would be busy about, you know, making sure that he had the best meal. And some of you would just be, you know, right there at his feet, just saying, you know, I got so little time. I want to hear what you're saying. But it's that Mary attention. It's that, okay, I don't care about anything else. You know, and Martha was like, look at that lady. You know, it's the Mary kind of focus. It's you know, the psalmist is saying, okay, unto thee I lift up mine eyes to Yahweh. My attention, my focus, my all those things that you guys just mentioned. Okay? So, who's the object of the gaze? Yahweh. The object. My friend, it's so easy to focus on so many things in life. The object of our gaze needs to be the Lord. He needs to be the one we're looking at. Isn't it easy to be? We're so hard on Peter. We're so hard on many others in the scriptures that didn't keep their eyes on the Lord, that looked, you know, to somebody else. I mean, look at the prodigal son. Did he keep his eyes on the Lord? Did he keep his eyes on his father, if I could say? Did he? No, he didn't. He looked at what was out there. Like we sang about this morning and talked about this morning, I'd rather have Jesus than all those things. You know, he just he looked to those things that would satisfy. Look to everything else. Look to, you know, so many illustrations and examples in the Bible of people that look to other things. And here he says, the psalmist says that he would lift I up mine eyes to Yahweh. O thou that dwellest in the heavens, God. Who's the object? Who ought to be the object of our gaze? The Lord. The Lord ought to be the object. The object of our gaze. He says, I am going to focus on you. I'm going to look to you. I'm not going to sit here and worry about what I'm having to go through in life. I'm not going to meditate. I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to make my focus, my object of my faith. I'm going to make my thinking, my discipline, my everything, I'm going to make that the Lord. I ask you the question, is the Lord your focus? Is the Lord the object of your gaze? I tell you, that's a very big key to our fears. You know, we're hard on Peter, but Peter looked at the winds and the waves and he began to sink. And when he took his eyes off the Lord, he was doing right, he was doing well. When his eyes were fixed upon the Lord, it wasn't until he turned his eyes that he got in trouble. And so the object of our gaze, we looked at the illustrations of our gaze, and I think, is, you know, of course God puts in perfect illustrations, but this whole element that we look at tonight is made more real because he gives the illustrations. So as a servant to a master, as the eyes of a maiden under the hand of her mistress, in the same way we see that illustration again, that direction, that authority, that assistance, that help, that support, that expectation, that determination, that steadfastness, that trust, and all those things, and plus some of the things that you mentioned, just as that again, that dog looks, he says, so. He says, he likens it, he says, that's the kind. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. He says, just like that expectation. And again, there's a lot of expectation. Have you noticed that when you're with a master, with somebody that's over you, you let them do the thinking? Most of the time, when I'm driving, it's not somebody else. Okay, and because that's just what I do. Okay, I like to drive. I don't like to drive, but maybe I don't trust anybody else driving. Okay, so I just tip. It's easier for me just to drive. But on the times that I'm not driving, and with directions, I'm fairly decent with directions, and I don't have to really. But when somebody else is taking the helm and doing that, you know what I have a tendency to do? I let them do it. You know, I'm not thinking about it. And so I didn't think about that. You know, you're the boss. You're the driver. I wasn't planning that out. I didn't take it, you know, I didn't take the responsibility myself to to go over that. You know, there's a dependence there. When you're under somebody, you are just letting them take the lead, take the guide, take the pointing, take the direction, take it all, and I'm just trusting in it. And that's what he's asking us to do here. Just like these people are doing, your responsibility is to take your eyes and your expectation, your dependence off of your things and put them directly on the Lord. Directly on the Lord. You put your attention on him and forget what you're having to go through. Trust him to do it. Lean on him to do it. Just like that maiden with the mistress. Just like that servant with the master. And so for us with the Lord, let him be our object and allow him to do it. Follow these examples. And let him deliver. Let him deliver. Notice what the request, you know, as we depend, what was the request? Until that he have what?
Mercy.
Do you like the word mercy? I do. I love the word mercy because it takes the load off of me. How many of you here tonight, and you don't need to raise your hand, are burdened down with the load of life? It's because we're allowing the load to be on us. And to tell you the truth, it's because we're allowing the weight of whatever to be on our shoulders. And hear what he's saying. He says, look to the Lord. And that looking brings what? Looking to the Lord will do what? It takes the load off of our shoulders. The load that was never meant for your shoulders. Do you know that God never intended these shoulders of ours to carry the weight and the burden of life? What's life? Financial, social, health, all these things that we go through, the burdens of life, right? Work, people, struggles, the things that we have that are weighing our shoulders down. And some of us walk into a place and we're so burdened down with it. Have you ever seen somebody come in with a... I know I have. I know some of you have pointed it out. Pastor, you look like you're carrying a load. You look like you're carrying a load on your shoulders. And I say, how did you notice? Because your shoulders are next to the floor. Really? I didn't notice. But isn't it true? But can I tell you this again? God never intended for your shoulders to carry a load like you're carrying. God didn't make, he didn't design you to carry that load. Do you know who he made to carry your load? Yahweh. He made him. I say he made him. Yahweh wasn't made. He is designed. He is for you. He meant to be. And the most, another practical way, the other day it was put, right? Put your trust in the Lord. This is the same principle, just in another way. And now he says more than put, it's to look. To look. Turn your eyes upon him. Look at him. And it's the same thing as putting. So I just gave you a second tool now, okay? The first was put, okay? My family loves putting, okay? Literally, we do. Putting the weight on his shoulder. Put your trust in the Lord. Today, it's the same thing. Look. Take your focus. This has a lot to do with your mind now. Take your focus of your burdens, your struggles, the things that you're carrying, and to depend. Depend. Look to him. Even if you just like pudding, even if you have to do that 155 times a day, look to him. That means, I don't need to worry about this. I don't need to think about this. I will not bear the weight of this on my shoulders now. Will not do it. All it will do to you is push you down to the ground, push you to the floor. And God says, Sean, why are you doing that? I never meant your shoulders to carry that. I've got someone that you can look to, you can turn your eyes upon, and he'll take it away. What is the last part of that song that we're about to sing? What does it say? Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth. The things of earth, all the things that will burden us down, the things of earth will grow strangely. Do you like that part? I do. In other words, he'll take it off of your shoulders and he'll carry it for you. In the light of his glory and his grace, his ability to carry your load. So I ask you tonight, where are your eyes? What is your gaze? Where are you looking? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Father, would you help us? We're so burdened down. We're so focused on ourselves. And here we see through a couple illustrations and some ways some words are used that we're supposed to completely put our dependence, turn our eyes, and to look to the Lord, look to you. And as we do that, as we look, then we can make it through life. And we didn't spend much time on that last part, but until that, he have mercy upon us. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. God, we're trusting you tonight to take that load, to take the weight on our shoulders, and to put it to you. It is our, not just our privilege, but our right to do that. We don't need to feel bad. We don't need to feel bad about coming to the Lord. Father, that's your glory. And so, God, help us tonight. Help us tonight to take those cares and to cast them upon you. For we know that you care for us. God, thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.